Good morning. There's a lot in the readings. In the first reading from Isaiah, there's that line about being chosen for my chosen people to drink. It would be a wonderful sermon. It's not going to be my sermon today or my reflections. I mean, what it feels like for us to be chosen. All human beings and individuals to be chosen, to be seen. And then there's the gospel with the anointing. But I'm not going to preach on that either. I'll reflect on Paul in his writing to the Philippians today. It's one of his more beautiful, tender letters. And he's just an exquisite example of a human being in his writings. I mean, the poor guy just struggles. And I don't know if he has many moments of peace in his brief life. And there is the line in this letter to the Philippians, all I want to know, all I want is to know. All I want is to know. And all I want is to know. We use that line a lot. Maybe not explicitly, but implicitly. I mean, like Tom this morning, all I want to know, am I reading or am I not reading? And in a given moment, all I want to know. All I want to know when I get to the church is a door opening because I forgot my keys, and is Ozzy here to let me in? I'm getting feedback. All I want to know. See, it's better when I'm over here because I get a lot of static. I mean, all I want to know is, you know, are my kids okay? Are they safe? Even if your kids are my age. But isn't that a question? All I want to know is, or are they going to make it? Is she going to find a job? Is she going to be safe? I mean, all I want to know. And that's saying a lot, isn't it? In these circumstances, all I want to know is that, can I care for my parents as they age? And all I want to know is, will my health care be sufficient as I age? Will my pension be enough? All I want to know is, will the chronic pain in my back stop? Each of us kind of has our own all I want to know. All I want to know is, will this cancer I have go into remission? I mean, all I want to know, will we as a species have enough wisdom to stop global warming in time? All I want to know, will the Ukrainian culture survive? All I want to know, will they pick up the trash on my block? But what is it that is truly all I want to know? What is it that I, in my heart of hearts, I want to know? That in a sense will allow all else to settle and allow my body to relax and enable me to have a basic sense of trust that even if things fall apart, What I know is that it'll be okay. All I want to know, and Paul says, all I want to know is Christ. What does that mean? All I want to know is Christ. Well, we take a step back and we look at Jesus. I mean, the principal teacher of our path. What is it that Jesus wanted to know? I mean, he doesn't make that statement. All I want to know is this. That's Paul. Paul lives in his head. These are both Jewish men in this first century. Very different personalities. This Pharisee, on the move kind of Paul, and Jesus learning. Well, learning what? What does he want to know? If I were to sum it up, I would say what's in Jesus' heart is that he would say, all I want to know is thy will. All I want to know is thy will. But the thy of Jesus' heart is not the warrior Adonai of Judaism, although it's probably part of his being brought up. It's not Elohim, which was another name for the Jewish experience of God, although that, I'm sure, touched him. But the thy, or the Jewish theologian Martin, philosopher Martin Buber would say, the thou, this thou that Jesus' heart is referring to and in touch with, it's his beloved. This is the kind of the, there are different reform movements in Judaism in the first century. For Jesus, it's this reform of the heart. This God has become his beloved that he's fallen in love with. He'll even, you know, he uses the word Abba, like a sweet kind of parental daddy. But it's this sense that this thy or this thou is this utterly approachable, lovable reality in his life. And all he wants to do is thy will. Which I believe means is, how do I become this lovable being that whatever circumstance I find myself in, whether it's with Martha and Mary, whether it's in Gethsemane, and I don't know what the hell is happening, and everything's falling apart, whether I'm on the cross and I'm dying and I feel despair, whether I'm dancing at a wedding and I'm having a lot of wine and it is a good time, whether I'm with my disciples, whether they get me or they don't get me. How do I respond as being the loving being that I am? If that is the core, if that is the essence of what it is to be a human being, all I want to know is how to respond in love to my daughter, to my partner, to my boss, to my neighbor, to the Soviets, Russians. To my back pain, to my fear. You see, when Paul talks about wanting to conform himself to the pattern of the death of Jesus Christ, the dying is it's each moment, because it's so hard for us to be vulnerable to the spontaneous love. I don't want to go there because I want to know in my head the direction. And I don't know it. I don't want to go there because I feel vulnerable with my partner. I don't want to do that. I want to be in control. We have so many defenses that kind of prop us up. We go into our head. We go into our kind of false strength of our ego. We have arguments. But this pattern, it's a very simple pattern and simply deceptive in its simplicity. Because it's this path of becoming a true human being, which is really developing or realizing our Christ nature. And that's what Jesus does, which is he's this loving creature. On one moment on the cross, he's saying, "My God, you'd abandon me. Why? Where the hell are you?" And then there's also John's insight. Jesus is saying, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." And they're both true. Feeling abandoned in one moment, feeling trust in the other. It's being honest with ourselves. And that's what love is. Love is being honest with ourselves, with those with whom we live or whom we have care for. At this moment, I'll be strong with them. At this moment, I'll be tender. At this moment, we'll dance together. At this moment, we'll weep. You see, in this pattern, which is realizing our Christic nature, there's no recipe. There's no, so I pull down the book and this is what I do. It's more this art of the soul. This being open to say, "Oh, this is what's being asked of me now. I'm sitting with my child and they're asking me to simply listen to them. Or my parent needs me to be strong right now and to be their advocate. We need to stand up strong for Ukraine. For people who fight for their freedom and are willing to die for their culture." Love can be strong, it can be soft, it can be joyful, it can be weeping. It is all of these. And it depends on the situation we find ourselves in, how we respond, how we learn to respond in our maturity, because we're able to see. That's what Jesus becomes, this person who can see from his heart. All I want to know, or all I want is to know Christ. All I want is to know how to be this being that is this loving response. And part of that is being willing to make mistakes. And when we screw up, say we're sorry. It's part of the loving path. Part of what Paul learns in Philippians. He doesn't know that in Romans and Corinthians. Paul's never wrong when he's a younger man. Oh, how I identify with Paul. He is on a righteous crusade as a young man. He gets older, and it doesn't matter. He's learned how to love, and they kill him for it. So in this Lenten journey, this is our time to re-enter this path of love, of maturing in love, of becoming vessels, these beating creatures of love. Amen.